And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartinions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, I pray you forgive us wherever we may have failed you in attitude or word and deed this day. And I pray you'd help us to renew our focus, or be reminded of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more than salvation. We have someone we can go to when we're in need. We have an answer to each and everything in our life. And I pray you'd help us this evening, Lord, to learn from your word. Help us to have our ears opened and our hearts ready to receive what you have to say to us this evening. I pray that you do that work which only you can do. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. One of the things we have to remember when it comes to power is that power comes from prayer. It comes from God, and prayer is our ability to go to God and allow him to use the power that only he can in our lives. The early church continued in prayer. Throughout the book of Acts, early Christians continued in prayer and prospered by God's power. Their ability, their capabilities, what was done in their midst was done by God. When they went to the Lord in prayer, he did many wonderful things in their midst. And many great things occurred because of a result of prayer. This was because people trusted in God and they trusted in what he was capable of doing. They were not relying upon their own strength, but rather they were relying upon the strength only God could provide. Prayer is defined in various ways in Scripture. Ephesians 6:18, the Bible says, praying always with all prayer. Philippians 4:16 says, prayer and supplication. If we're going to be a mighty church, we need to be a praying church. We need to be involved in prayer. We can't try to do things in our own strength, for it'll only take a short period of time and our strength will fail. We can't rely upon our own wisdom and our programs and whatever it is we try in order to get the work done. We need to rely upon the strength that only God can provide. One of the quotes I have for us this evening is, a poverty stricken as a church is today in many things, it is most stricken in the place of prayer. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We have many players and payers, but we have few prayers. We have many singers, but few clingers. We have lots of pastors, but we have few wrestlers. We have many fears, but few tears. We have much fashion, but little passion. We have many interferers and few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, and then where we fail in a lot of places everywhere, is we fail in prayer. So many things we try to accomplish. So many things we try to do. And we forget to bend the knee and go to the Lord in prayer. We forget to ask the one who's able to do above all that we ask or think. And we try to do what we think is best. We need to rely upon the Lord in prayer. We need to pray not only to change things, but to change ourselves. We're all in need of prayer. We're all sinners saved by grace, but we could always do a little bit better if we're honest with ourselves. We want to have that attitude in the heart, Lord, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Prayer changes lives. Prayer changes the results of circumstances. prayer changes the situation. Because when we bend the knee in prayer, we're going to the one who can do above all that we ask or think. We're going to a mighty God. Sinning men will stop praying, and praying men will stop sinning. The pastor is not praying is playing, and the people who are not praying are straying. We need to rely upon the Lord in prayer. Tonight, let us notice a biblical illustration of a praying church. First of all, Roman numeral number one, if you're taking notes, the opportunity for prayer. The opportunity for prayer. We see here in the book of Acts, they had an opportunity of prayer because of persecution. Herodias had killed James, and he took Peter, and he was going to kill him too. And as a result of that persecution, the Bible says the church of God prayed. A lot of us do better when we're put under pressure than when we're not under pressure. And that is because when we're put in a certain place of persecution, or where we're put in a place where we don't know what to do, we do what we should always do. We go to God and ask for His help. The opportunity for prayer is more prevalent when persecution arises. The church of God in the book of Acts had prevailed, and many souls were saved because of persecution. People were pushed to the limit. They went from all over the world, and God did a great mighty work because of the persecution. And it wasn't simply because of persecution, but because of the persecution, they prayed. They went to God and asked for help. Persecution or pressure provides us an opportunity of prayer, because many times without it, we would fall into a routine of rituals instead of relying upon God. We would do the same thing we always do. We would go through the motions, go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever there's fellowships, and there's nothing wrong with that. But many times we go, but we're not involved. Our heart's not in it. We're not where we should be. We might attend, but we're not completely there. Our mind's somewhere else. We're thinking about something else. But during the times when we face pressures of this world, when we're going through financial difficulties, or if we're under persecution, or if we're suffering, then that's when we begin to become involved as we ought to be, because we go to the Lord in prayer. In today's political landscape, we really are probably only one person away, probably ourselves, from seeing persecution of the church. What I mean by that is it will probably take a matter of time before someone realizes, I can become popular if I persecute the church, and they'll start persecuting the church. That is what happened here. Herodias, he thought this was a popular thing to do, so I'm going to do it a little bit more. And in our society, you see it within political agendas or political decisions. A lot of things are based upon what is popular. And all it takes is for society to think it's popular for churches to be closed and churches not to be saying what they're saying when it comes to the Word of God, and things can change overnight. But we shouldn't think of that as a bad thing. And what I mean by that, it gives us the opportunity to focus where we should be focusing, and that is on God, relying upon God. Although we probably won't see the severity, the extent where someone is killed because they believe in following the Word of God and following God, in either case, we'll probably see persecution arise. The imprisoning of Peter gave the early church a desire to seek God's face so that their prayer would be heard. And when we go through persecution, it's an opportunity for prayer. Not only is another opportunity for prayer as well, as letter B, is we are to pray for one another. We have an opportunity to pray for each other. In these days in which we live, we need to be praying for one another. Why should we pray for one another? Because the devil desires to have many people to sift them as wheat. The devil wants to break up. The devil desires for people to fall apart from within. He desires disunity within the church. And we need to be praying for each other, that our focus would not be upon ourselves and our lust and our ambitions, but our focus would be on the work of God. And each and every person who's involved in the church, that their heart and motive would be to serve God and not themselves. We need to pray for one another. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 42, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." The early church continued steadfastly in prayers. And their prayers were for one another. Many times you read in the Bible that they prayed, and a result of prayer was people receiving boldness to preach the word of God. They would get up from the church after they prayed, and they would go out and preach the gospel. And God would use them in a mighty way. And that is a result of praying for each other. We need boldness to preach the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need boldness to preach to this world that there are sinners in need of a Savior. We need to have that heart's desire and that ambition. We need that focus to preach the Word of God. One of the solutions God gives us when things are lacking is to pray about it. To pray about it. When we are lacking in people who have hearts' desire to follow God and train their children to love the Lord, we need to be praying for them, that they would have that desire to follow God and serve Him. When people are facing problems financially or spiritually or physically, we need to bring it before the Lord in prayer. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 22 and following, "For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great namesake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way." God forbid that we cease in praying for each other, that we should sin in such a way. Let us take the opportunity to pray for one another. Not only do we pray for one another, but we also have opportunity to pray for our pastor, praying for our spiritual leaders. The Bible says the following in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Turn there, if you would, to the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verse 1. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." We want the Word of God to have free course here at Kitchener Baptist Church. We want it to do the work that it needs to do in each and every person's life. And one of the ways this occurs is by us praying for the pastor. He is to feed the flock that is here among us. It's his responsibility. God has laid upon him to feed the church. He is an under-shepherd. But in order for that to happen, God's people need to be praying for the pastor. If you're not praying for him, if you're not protecting him with your spiritual prayers by lifting him up before the cross and asking God's protection upon his life, you're doing yourself a disservice. We need to be actively involved in prayer. We need to pray that the devil would not come in and discourage our pastor and hinder his ability to preach to us, thus saith the Lord. We need to pray for our leaders that God will enable them to be the leaders that they need to be. It is only by the grace of man that a man can lead his fellow man in the ways of God. Sometimes we look at a pastor and we think that they're extra spiritual, they're at a place that no one else can reach, and therefore they'll never fall. But the truth is, they're just like you and I. They're a man that God has given the privilege and the responsibility to lead in a local church, and needed our prayer so that they don't fall. Because when a pastor falls, it prevents from the Word of God having free course. It takes people's eyes off of what they should be focusing on, and they start focusing on the problems of the pastor instead of their spiritual needs. We need to be actively involved in praying for our pastor. We need to pray that God would give the pastor wisdom so that they don't scatter, the people don't scatter. We need to pray that God will give Pastor wisdom so that he doesn't fail and falter, so that the people don't go astray. We need to pray for our pastor. We also need to pray as well for our church, praying for each other, but praying for our church. And what I mean by that is we need to pray that the church work would be done. And the church work is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Our power to reach and to teach comes from God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Power is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that the church would seek him and follow him so that they could reach the world around them. That is what God wants from us as a church. It's more than being spiritually fed and growing spiritually, but it is also doing the work of God and reaching our community with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We grow so that we can go. And we grow so that we can better explain the hope that is within us, that we'll be able to give an answer to every man who asks of us what it is that we believe and why we believe it. That is why we go to the church, so that we can grow, so that we can go and tell others of the hope that we have within, what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, and what he can do for them as well. Many a times in the book of Acts, they sought the Lord's help in preaching the gospel. They received power, they received boldness because they went to the Lord in prayer. As a church, we depend upon prayer when it comes to preaching the word of God. It is only because of the grace of God and what God has given us we are able to preach, thus saith the Lord. We also have an opportunity, letter E, to pray for the sick. Turn your Bibles to the book of James, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14. James chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. We have an opportunity as a church, a group of local believers, to pray for those that are sick among us. When there are those who are going through a difficult time in their life and they're under the weather, if they're a certain type of sickness, the Bible says you can bring them before the church. And the church, we are to pray over them. And the Bible says this is a prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's a prayer of faith. The pouring of oil, I believe we do that as a showing of our faith. We're showing the Lord, we're doing this, we're going to follow you in this, we're going to do what you tell us to do, but the Bible says it's a prayer of faith that will make the difference. Even if he's as sick as a result of certain sins, the Bible says they shall be forgiven him. Now, I'm going to explain in this, and I want you to understand, it doesn't always work out the way we want it. And I'll explain what I mean by that. The Bible says sometimes people glorify God through their sickness. At the end of the book of John, you read about a certain man where Jesus told him the way he was going to glorify God in his final days. He said, when you would have traveled around and did certain things in your own strength, you had the ability to do it. But when you're older, you're going to glorify me by someone else doing that for you. Basically, you're going to become a cripple and someone else is going to carry you around because you can't do anything for yourself. And God says, this is how you're going to glorify me. Our wisdom, our ways are not God's ways. It doesn't mean you don't do this. You should always follow the steps that God gives in the Word of God. But remember, God is able to do above all that we are asking or thinking. If someone is sick amongst us, God is able to. If we follow in this process, we follow in prayer, he's able to heal the sick among us. Not only do we have the opportunity for prayer, but we have the outpouring of prayer. The outpouring of prayer. Letter A, we are to be fervent in prayer. We are to be fervent in prayer. When it comes to praying, we need to be fervent in our prayers. In the book of Acts, they were gathered together because they had a desire that Peter would not die like James did. Their hearts were probably burdened for him. And they were bringing it before the Lord because they didn't know where else to go. They didn't know what else to do. And when it comes to prayer, that's where our mind has to be. It has to be at a place where we don't know where else to go. We don't know what else to do. What I mean by that is we're totally dependent upon God. We need to be fervent. Just like when we play a sport and we go all out so that we win. We don't like to lose when we play a sport. That is how we should be involved in our prayers. Our heart should be in it. It shouldn't be something we just do it haphazardly in a quick 2 minutes and be done. It should be something we do with a passion, with a heart's desire, seeking for God's will to be done. We need to be at a place where we want to see God working in our lives through the events of our everyday. Many times we'll wake up in the morning and what we depend upon to get us throughout the day is a coffee. Or maybe we're depending upon some good news for that day just to carry us through. But as Christians, we need to learn to just depend upon God through prayer. And not just any prayer, but prayer where we go to God and say, God, will you work in my life today? God, will you help me today? Will you give me an opportunity to be a witness for you? God, will you change this in my life? I'm struggling here. Can you help me? Be fervent. Speak to God and deal with God as he's right there before you and talk to him as he is, and that is, he is our friend. Fervent prayer is selfless prayer. It is prayer that is looking to help others. It's prayer that is looking to see great works being done, not for themselves, but for the glory of God. We need to be fervent in our prayer. In order to be fervent in our prayer, we need to pray without ceasing. We have not because we ask not. We ask once and that's it. But the Word of God encourages us to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on looking. And then God will hear and God will answer our prayer. We also ought to be corporate in our prayers. We ought to be corporate in our prayers. We are pray with fervency, but we're to pray as a church. We gather together to pray together. When we pray together, many more things are accomplished. The marks of a mighty church is not the size of the buildings, but is whether or not they gather together in prayer. The marks of a mighty church is not a better program, it's whether or not people are involved in prayer. When we gather together, it's not for our own personal agenda, it should be to gather together to see the hand of God work through prayer. And that is what prayer is. It's asking God's hand to work in our midst. It's asking God to come down and do that which only he can do. And when we gather together in prayer, and we're united in prayer, God does a lot more than we're just praying by ourselves. The church's power came not only from their fervency, it also came from their unity in prayer. They were united. When it came to Peter being released from the jail, the Bible says it was the church that made prayer without ceasing unto God for him. It was more than one person, it was the church who was praying for him. The church's power came not only from the fervency, it came from their unity in prayer. Not only to be corporate in prayer, but we need to be personal in prayer. In the book of Acts, when they were praying for Peter, they were praying for a specific person. It was for Peter. When we gather together in prayer, we pray for specific people. We pray for a specific thing. When one is burdened for others and prayer becomes personal, it results in the Lord responding. It's more than saying, Lord, save everyone around me. It's saying, Lord, save my father. Lord, I pray for my coworker, Ben. Will you work in his life? Lord, will you do all these things? You pray specifically, and the Lord hears that, and he sees it. We need to be personal in our prayers. They prayed for Peter, and Peter was released from jail. God heard their prayer. And finally, we'll be done this evening, the outcome of prayer. The outcome of prayer. The church, when they were praying for Peter, there was a result to their prayer. And it surprised many of them. I'll read in the book of Acts, chapter 12, from 7 and following, the Bible says this, "And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but that thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out and passed out through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and that delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is an angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought them out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." We see the outcome of this prayer. Peter was released. Peter wasn't expecting it. He thought he was having a vision. He thought this was just a dream. He woke up. He said, Look what God has done. He goes to the house where the people are praying, and Rhoda answers the door and says, Peter's at the door. And they say, Yeah, you're mad. You're losing it. You've lost your mind. And then Peter comes and stands before them. He knocks, he keeps on knocking. Who's that knocking at the door? And finally, Peter steps in. And they're all amazed. What has God done? And Peter beckons unto them, this is the work of the Lord. This is what God has done. And the outcome of prayer, Peter's release. Peter being released from jail by the angel was not a random thing that occurred. Don't be surprised when your prayers are answered. It is not a random occurrence. It is the work of God. Don't take it for granted when you see the answer to your prayer and say to yourself, Is this real? Am I seeing things? God answers prayer. God works through prayer. And He can work through your prayer and my prayer. He can do great things like this. He can work in people's lives. He can save that person who's on death row, who's being persecuted because he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save that person who's suffering. God is able to do that. We need to understand the outcome of prayer like they did. And Peter was released. We ask and receive not so many times because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. We need to learn that it's not about us. It's about the work of God being done. This is for the glory of God. Not only was Peter released, but the people doubted. This was the outcome of prayer. People doubt so many times because they've never seen an answered prayer like this before. They see the occurrence, they see the situation, and they think to themselves, well, this is impossible. They go through the prayer, they go through the ritual, but they think to themselves, nothing's going to happen. And then God steps in and something happens. God answers the prayer. People doubt. But the Bible says, Now unto him in Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God is able to do above all that we ask or think. This is a result of prayer. And the result of prayer, of course, this is the main reason why God answers prayer. The Lord is glorified. Acts 12:17, Peter speaking, he says, "But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought them out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." When we pray, when we're asking God to do work in our midst, and we know that it's going to glorify his name, God will answer your prayer. God will glorify his name. And his name is glorified when we, through faith and understanding, go before him in prayer and pray for him to do above all that we ask or think. There's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything. There's nothing that can limit him. The thing that limits God the most, so many a times, is our lack of faith. Our lack of faith shows because of our lack of prayer. Let us return to what we need to return to, and that is prayer. The mark of a mighty church, it's not the programs. It's not how many people you have. It's whether or not you're praying and asking God to work in your midst. We have many opportunities, but a few outpourings of prayer. A mighty church is a praying church. The single greatest need we have is for an outpouring of prayer. We want revival. We want God to do work in our midst. We want God to change something. Then we need to be involved in prayer. A quote from George Whitefield: "Whole days and weeks have I spent on the ground in silent or vocal prayers." We live in dark days. What these days need is not a better program, not more entertainment to bring the people in. They need to pray the prayer of God's people. We need to pray for the community around us. Let us look at what we need as a church and what our community needs, and let us bring it before the Lord fervently in prayer. And God will do a great and mighty work in our midst. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love.